And it is Law and Gospel on this Monday, September the 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 2013. I'm Tom Baker. And are you ever worried about your sins, that perhaps somebody is accusing you day and night at the throne of God about your sins? And perhaps you're worried about whether or not salvation is going to be yours. We're going to be talking about that on this particular Monday. If you would like to phone on that subject in the St. Louis area, it is 821-0850. Long distance anywhere in North America, a 1-800-730-2727. So, what is this deal about Satan before the throne of God day and night accusing the saints of their sins? Not only does the Bible say that, but most interestingly, it is found. In the book of Job, the devil comes before Almighty God and accuses Job of just being fairly nice and humanity-wise, loving his neighbor, because he has so many blessings. But the devil says, you take away those blessings and you will see him turn from you. Well, you probably know the story of Job, that true story that ended up in Job still praising the Lord. And at the end, of course, he had realized that repentance was necessary for his sins. And God, of course, blessed him with a large family again. But the point I'm making here is Satan was able to come before the presence of God. The readings for this coming Sunday, and this coming Sunday could be one of the Sundays after Pentecost, but it just so happens to fall on what's called St. Michael and All Angels Day. We're going to talk about that with Pastor Wes Reimnitz this coming Thursday, more about angels. But we're going to look at the texts, and one text that I find interesting for that particular Sunday is Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 20. Let me kind of give you the background here. The Lord sent out 70 of his disciples, two by two, to go into every city and every place where he himself was about to go. Well, they couldn't believe that they even had power over demons. And so in verse 17, we read the following. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, I could easily do a whole sermon on that last verse, namely that don't be rejoicing the spirits are subject to you, but rather your names are written in heaven. And the way I would understand that is it's really a distinction between the theologian of self-glory and the theologian of the cross, a law and gospel distinction that many of you are well aware if you've been listening to law and gospel for some time. And I found out that a number of you are listening. I was had the privilege of preaching at Good Shepherd in Collinsville yesterday. Wonderful congregation. Great Pastor Walther. You hear him occasionally here on KFUO in his Bible studies. He also helped to edit the Concordia Bible that was recently put out, Reader's Edition. And he is a pastor, in my opinion, who can understand law and gospel and get it across to his people. Well, the point I want to make here is if you're rejoicing because you have some ability to cast out demons, you're really rejoicing in yourself. It would be like me rejoicing saying, I tell you, I rejoice every day because I brought at least 100 children into the kingdom of God through infant baptism. Now, it may be true that 100 plus children during my years in ministry at St. James Lutheran in University City did come into the kingdom of God through infant baptism, but guess what? It wasn't me. I was just the voice and the hands of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Trinity brought those children into the kingdom of God by the waters of baptism, I have no power to save anybody. But I have been given the authority to say the words and use the elements, both in baptism and the Lord's Supper, which the Holy Spirit uses to work his salvation mystery. So, Jesus is saying you want to rejoice. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Notice he did not say, rejoice because you have written your names in heaven. No, it's a passive. Your names are written in heaven. Well, who wrote them if you didn't? Jesus did. And he wrote your name in heaven because of the cross and the resurrection. But the point I want to look at is Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Well, could we find another passage perhaps that gives us more information about this falling from heaven that Satan had? Well, of course, because the Bible interprets the Bible. Pastors don't interpret the Bible. Scripture interprets Scripture. So let's go to Revelation chapter 12, and it's particularly verses 7 and following. Verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. So the devil is kind of given an analogy of being a dragon here. Remember, he was the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Well, how do you know that he was the serpent in the Garden of Eden? Oh, guess what? There's not one passage in the Old Testament that tells you that. It just talks about the serpent in Genesis chapter 3. But it doesn't say he's the devil. Where do we get the idea that he was the devil? Chapter 3, verse 1 simply says, Genesis, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And then, of course, that serpent questions Eve, and Eve and Adam fall into sin. How do we know that was the devil? Well, permit me to read on. Verse 9, chapter 12, Revelation. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Wow. This is the only place in the Bible where we know for sure that the serpent in the Garden of Eden was none other than the devil himself. Now, it's safe to assume that, but if you want a backup passage, which Lutherans always need to have when we're talking doctrine, there it is. Now, when was this devil cast out? He was cast out during the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because the Bible now speaks that the devil was our accuser before the throne of God. And guess who replaced the devil? Our defense attorney, Jesus the Christ. The devil is no longer permitted to come into the presence of God and accuse the saints of their sin. So why are you so worried? Why are you worried about sin? Well, I'll tell you why. Those of you who are most worried are probably those who love Jesus Christ the most. What? Well, you would think if you love Jesus Christ the most, you wouldn't be sinning. Well, there were only three human beings who were living a life of not sinning. Three. I can think of Jesus. Who else are you thinking about? Well, I'm thinking of Adam and Eve prior to their fall into sin. They had no sin. And we're not quite sure how long they were in the Garden of Eden before they fell, but I don't think it would have been too long. Because Eve didn't have a baby in the Garden of Eden. She bore Cain after they were thrown out of the Garden of Eden. So what we're saying here is your prosecuting attorney, the devil, was cast out of heaven. That's why I believe that they really have a special day in the church year in regard to St. Michael and all the angels. Because we've already heard that there was a big fight and war that broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Now, there are some people who would suggest that Michael was really Jesus. But Michael appears elsewhere in the scripture, like in Daniel 10, which is the Old Testament reading for today, or I should say this coming Sunday, which can be St. Michael's and all angels. And some churches are really going to be having some celebrations. I think on the early show, Dr. Bender, organist at St. Paul de Pere, where I go to church in de Pere, Missouri, are having a very special service in regard to St. Michael and all angels. You may want to be listening to that, or if I'm not sure it occurred today or not, but if it did, you can probably hear it later on when they put it up. So, St. Michael and all angels, if I were to ask you how many human beings lived a life where they were not sinning, most people would only say one, that's Jesus Christ. It's a trick question because Adam and Eve also lived that life for a short period. Now, let me ask you this question. How many angels are named in the Bible? Now, we're going to go into more detail about these things with Reverend Reimnitz on Thursday. But at this point, the answer is two. Now, not counting Jesus as the angel of the Lord, which occurs almost 70 times in the Old Testament, but referring to the two would be Michael and Gabriel. Now, you'll hear other names of angels, but those angels come from the Roman Catholic books, which we call the Apocrypha. Those are an additional dozen-plus books that we don't really agree with as being part of the Bible. I don't want to go into the canonicity of why they aren't part of the Bible, not only because, well, to a great degree, they weren't in the Jewish listing of the Bible at times. Plus, they do have both theological and some historical errors. But be that as it may, those angels named in those books we don't consider as being real angels with those names. The only two mentioned are Michael and, of course, Gabriel. You know, he was the one that visited Mary to inform her that she would become pregnant with the Son of God. Now, why is this so helpful? Well, because why was Satan cast out of the presence of God to accuse the saints day and night of their sins? It appears that he was there throughout the Old Testament times, because Job is a very good example where Satan had a conversation with God. And it appears that up to the passion of Jesus, he was there, and then he was thrown down to earth. And let me read a little bit more from this Revelation chapter 12, verses 10, 11, and 12. After his angels were cast out with him, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." And in the next portion of the Bible, when the devil comes down to earth, he persecutes the holy Christian church again and again. But Jesus protects the church. But let's get back to the main question. All of this is nice history, or as I should rephrase it, is nice his story, all about Jesus and what he has done. But in what I read is a hint as to why you don't have to worry about the devil accusing you of sins. In fact, it's not possible for the devil to accuse you of sins anymore in light of something that has happened. And that something is verse 11. "And they," which is referring to the believers in Christ, overcame him by what? Their good works? No. Well, overcame him by their faith? No. Overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by their word of their testimony. This is significant. What is your confession? Is it a confession about Jesus as Savior? Or is it a confession about you saving yourself? It is the blood of the Lamb that has brought you into a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Our numbers here are 821-0850 or long distance 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Yeah, you're wrong. They named three angels in the Bible. The one you forgot to name is Lucifer.
Okay, it just so happens that the devil has a number of names. One of them is Satan. One of them is Beelzebub. Another one is Lucifer. And there are even some others. And in the context, that is just another name for Satan himself.
I mean, but he was an angel, though.
Pardon?
I'm saying he was an angel, and that was his name, Lucifer.
Yes, but it's the same person as Satan. So there's only three named, and that is Michael, Gabriel, and then whatever you want to call Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, Satan. Those are all his names or titles.
Okay, well, I was just trying to say there were three names of angels.
No, that's very good, Mike. You keep searching the scriptures, and if you find that Lucifer is someone different than the devil, get back with me.
No, he is the devil.
Yes, okay.
I'm not saying that.
All right, well, thank you for your call. Excellent. See, those are the kind of callers we like. People who listen to what I say. Remember, I say this all the time. If I say something you don't agree with, call me. And then if I can't convince you that what you are thinking is wrong, then turn the station. I'm a false teacher. So I've given him an assignment, and that is to see if Lucifer is really the name of a different angel than Satan, or Beelzebub's a different name, or Satan himself is a different name. And there's even some other titles given to Satan in this. But thanks so much, Mike. Anybody else can call at 821-0850. Toll free 1-800-730-2727. So here's the law. If you are not under the covenant of Jesus Christ, namely under the new covenant where your sins have been forgiven, then you're under the old covenant where you're trying to get to heaven by your works, and therefore your sins are outstanding, and Satan could still use them to accuse you. He can't accuse you before the throne of God because Jesus Christ forgave the sins of everybody on the cross, but he can accuse you and make you really worried about it. So I'll tell you what happens when people who aren't believers in Jesus are accused of their sin. They either reinterpret the law to minimize what it is saying so they don't fall under its judicial decision, or they become very depressed, and they become an atheist or an agnostic, although it's impossible to be an atheist. Because an atheist, in contrast to an agnostic, an atheist says there is no God, and an agnostic says we're not sure. The reason you can't be an atheist is the only way you can say there is no God, you would have to have omniscience, which means you know everything. And after you look at everything, then you will have to say, oh, there is no God. But since nobody knows everything, human beings probably know about 0.1% of reality. So there's 1,000 times more that they have to look at in order to say there is no God. So anybody who tells you there is no God, he's pretending he's God because he has to know all things. Agnostic's a lot safer. I'm not sure there is a God. At least he's aware of the fact that you have to have all knowledge to be able to say that. But anybody else like Mike who really reads the Bible and sees something that may appear to be not suggesting what I've said, don't hesitate to call at 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. We have to understand that we Lutherans believe Scripture interprets Scripture. And, for example, I'll tell you what happened yesterday at Good Shepherd Collinsville. There was the gospel reading about the parable of the unjust steward. But the vast majority of individuals think that the unjust steward is really an unjust person, and that God is just giving advice to Christians to be as wise as unjust people are. I have a different interpretation if you've taken a look at my Renaming the Parable CD, and the interpretation is the unjust steward is none other than Jesus himself, and I give about 8 reasons why I think that's true. But as a pastor of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, somebody else could have a different interpretation of that text and still be okay. So when I have some theories of mine that I may think are correct, but don't have a sufficient background from other theologians, the tradition of the church, or the Bible, then I'm not going to be preaching on that. I'll still use it in a Bible study or over KFUO, but I'll tell you this is my opinion and this is why I think this. But I'll also tell you there are other very good theologians in the church that are so good that sometimes when I listen to them, I change my mind about certain things. So we pastors, we're not God. And that's why, as C.F.W. Walther, first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the 1800s, said, the sheep judge the shepherds. If you notice in the Bible study I'm doing today, looking ahead for angels, St. Michael's and all Angels Day, I have been quoting scripture after scripture. And the last point I want to make, the reason you have overcome Satan accusing you day and night before the throne of God isn't because of anything you've done, it's because of the blood of the Lamb. What does that mean? Well, why did he shed his blood? As I emphasized to the good people of Good Shepherd yesterday, as I gave out the blood of Jesus Christ going down through the Lord's Supper, I said, take, drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for all of your sins. I emphasize the word all each time because that's kind of what the sermon was about. There isn't any sin that Jesus hasn't taken away. So here is the best good news that we can give you on this program right now from a law gospel point of view. The reason the devil cannot accuse you of sins isn't because he's not at the throne of God, but because from God's point of view, you are no longer considered a sinner. He has declared you righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You are a sinless saint in his eyes. And therefore, you're able to take the Lord's Supper. Because God will not enter into an unholy place. But your body, because of your baptism, has become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Christianity is so unique in its understanding of how you relate to God that what really means is how God did stuff to relate to you. In the blood of Jesus, Jesus was shedding that blood and suffering the punishments that you deserved and you should have had, eternal condemnation. But because he took it upon himself, then the words from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing, comes to you. It's not that the devil was thrown away from the throne of God because Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit just didn't want to bother hearing him anymore. No, he no longer has a case because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It would be like somebody complaining to you that your next-door neighbor never cuts his lawn. It's like 4 feet tall. And then one day, the neighbor does cut his lawn, and that same complainer comes to you, and he doesn't realize that the lawn's been cut. Well, guess what? You're going to kick him out. because there's nothing to complain about. Well, when Jesus died on the cross for your sins, he really took care of your sins forever. There is no grass cutting needed. The lawn is going to be short forever. So, God recognizing what Jesus Christ did, he therefore says to Satan, you're gone, because there are no sins any longer over which you can complain and accuse the saints day and night. So, that we hope for those congregations that are going to choose next Sunday to be St. Michael and All Angels Day rather than one of the Pentecost Sundays, we hope that's the message that they get across, because it's so comforting to know that you can't be accused of sins if God doesn't consider you to be a sinner. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel with our good friend, the Reverend Dr. Pastor Mark Smith, we'll be talking about issues of interest and allowing you to phone in. Till tomorrow then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.